Kay, my guest on Podcasting Softly this morning and the evening where she is none other than a fabulous veteran stunt performer, Cheryl Wheeler. Cheryl has been a part of, well, really a plethora of wonderful pictures. Just to list a few, They Live, L.A. Bounty, Die Hard 2, Maniac Cop 2, Fast Getaway, Man Trouble, Sweet Justice, Warlock Armageddon, Ring of Steel, Ransom, Phantoms, Lethal Weapon 4, Ghosts of Mars, Charlie's Angels, Machete, Night and Day, Thor, Bernie, Spy Kids 4, The Living Game. We're also going to talk about The Martial Arts Kid and The Martial Arts Kid 2. Cheryl, thank you for being on Podcasting Softly.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. Wow, Australia. I'm excited.
We're excited to have you here down under. So I guess for the uninitiated, I know your work and there's a lot of people listening that probably do, but for the uninitiated who may be listening, could you give us a little bit of a bio, how you came to your profession?
Sure. Yes, of course. Well, I started out, as an athlete. I grew up with five brothers and no sisters, so that kind of started out my career of trying to, learn how to be tough amidst a whole bunch of testosterone. And I have no sisters, so I grew up, rough and tough and tumbling and fighting with my brothers and wanting to hang out with the boys and doing what the boys do. So naturally, I fell into a couple of different things that's mainly a boys' world, and I started out, I got into martial arts when I was about 14, 15 years old in high school, and I had an affinity for it. I really loved it, and it it really changed my life. I kind of grew up very quiet, kind of meek. I had a bunch of brothers. They just kind of overran me. And martial arts really helped me kind of come into my own. And it was a huge life-changing sport for me and an art, and something that taught me discipline and taught me how to be tough and taught me how to the whole discipline of it mentally and physically and spiritually. It just really, really set me on a really cool, I think, path in life. And so I got into martial arts. I got my black belt. It was in a style called, it was a Japanese style called Yoshikai karate, very popular in the Southeast in the United States. And it was, of course, very big in Japan. But, and then from there, I got into, we had an amateur team of guys that got into kickboxing in my karate school. And I started doing that as well. And I used to just do it for the fun of it. I would go for the workouts, before women got into kickboxing and doing all the kickboxing classes, we would just go to the boxing gym and train. And it was such a cool workout. It was such a good workout. And it was great self-defense, and it was great cardiovascular. And so I started doing that. And then, the team went somewhere. I think it was a little town that you would never have heard of, but it was called Rome, Georgia.
Right.
Not Rome, Italy, but Rome, Georgia. And we had a couple of kickboxing matches there, and there was a girl there from Rome that wanted to compete. And so the guys asked me if I wanted to do it. I got involved in it, went and competed, won my match, and from there, I never looked back. I had one promoter after another calling me and saying, hey, would you like to compete on my kickboxing card? And so I started traveling all over the Southeast and then all over the United States, and I ended up going to Hong Kong and fighting. I went to Holland and fought, and I ended up winning a world title in kickboxing, and from that, I segued into the movie industry. I was trying to get into, I would call myself an action actor, because I was trying to do martial arts films. It was back when the Ninja Turtles were big and, Steven Seagal, and there was a lot of different martial arts films, but there were no real good women. And, there was a few, but, there weren't that many. So I moved out to LA, Los Angeles, and I, pursued the film industry and played a few parts doing martial arts, playing myself, but I ended up meeting a bunch of stunt people on one particular film. And back then it was the, the actresses of my time back then in the 1980s were like Daryl Hannah or Kathleen Turner or, you know, the, you know, kind of the, you know, they were all my height, and some of the stunt people in the film were like, man, you should be doing stunt work. You know, you could be working all the time if you pursued it, because you're the right height and you're the right size, and you could double a lot of the leading ladies. And, you know, Hollywood, you're trying to do acting jobs, and it's just a lot harder to break into. So I started doing the stunt work, and I realized that I loved it, and that they were, you know, the ones that had all the fun because they got to do all the action. And so I, that's kind of how I stepped into the movie industry, the stunt business, right. You know, through my martial arts. And then I learned how to do driving and high falls. And as I kind of continued in my career, I started learning to do other things. But I had grown up riding horses and very athletic. And so, you know, it was just a natural thing for me to fall into, pardon the pun, you know.
Right.
So.
Excellent.
That's how I started.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've got so many wonderful pictures that you've done work on. We can't possibly cover them all, but I've sort of picked out a few that are favorites of mine, you know, and if we could go through them and maybe you could tell us a little bit about your experiences on each one or what you may remember from each one.
Of course. And I did double a pretty big Aussie actress a few times, Nicole Kidman. I doubled her on Malice. And I doubled her on Billy Bathgate, which I think is kind of,
okay.
I always loved doubling her. She was so much fun, and, you know, she has that Australian accent that everyone loves. But I had a lot of fun doubling her.
Right.
That was early on in her career, but
it was
a pleasure to double her.
Right, and you did a lot. You doubled Renee Russo a lot. Is that true? You did a lot of her.
Yes, yeah. I've doubled her now. I just finished a film with her, in fact, about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
She did a movie in Los Angeles. So her husband actually directed her, Dan Gilroy, and we did a little, you know, couple nights together. It was a lot of fun. But
okay. But
I doubled her initially in Lethal Weapon 3,
okay.
Where she, you know, she was the new girl in town and she kicked butt, and, you know, she had some real fun scenes in that movie. But
right.
The most fun thing about it was that I got to start working with her about 8 weeks before production started.
Right.
So we started training before the movie even started. So by the time the movie started, we were fast friends, and we had been training together for you know, 8 weeks. And the studio set us up to where we could, you know, I was basically teaching her how to fight. You know, she knew nothing about kickboxing or karate or fighting. And so every day I would go to her house and we'd set up a heavy bag and we'd practice kicks and punches and, you know, stretching and basically looking like, you know, she knew what she was doing, which by the time we finished and by the time production and filming started, she didn't punch like a girl. She punched like a guy. She'd turn her hips and she'd put her shoulder into her punches and her kicks and her knees. And, but that was really, really fun to do. And I did the same thing with an actress named Bridget Fonda, where I worked with her before pre-production when we did a film called Point of No Return.
Mm.
And but Renee, I've been doubling. God, I've probably done about 10 films with her now. You know, she's
yeah.
just, we've become fast friends. And every time she has anything, she calls me. So,
well, that's great.
You know, it's been a very, we were laughing about it last couple weeks ago. We were like, I have known you since 1992, you know, and that's a long time to have been doubling somebody.
Yeah.
We've had kids, we've gone through all sorts of stuff together.
Sure.
And you know, so she's just a great actress and a dear friend, and you know, I'm just try and take good care of her. Part of what you do as a stunt double is you take care of your actresses. It's not just doing their stunts for them, but it's if they're on the ground, you know, getting, you know, beat up in a close-up scene, you make sure they have knee pads on, you make sure they have their elbows are protected, you make sure that they're being taken care of, you know, and that's what causes an actress to call you back and say, hey, well, I want Cheryl to double me because Cheryl's going to take care of me, and that's what I've always tried to do with her and the other actresses that I've doubled over the years, you know. So, it's been a real blessing for a job.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that long ago I spoke to Peter Kent, who was Arnold Schwarzenegger's longtime double for about, oh, I don't know, 11 years or something.
I remember Peter.
He was Arnold Schwarzenegger's guy. So, yeah, it was very, very interesting because like your relationship with Renee, he pretty much had a similar relationship with Arnold. They hung out, you know, all the time because, you know, they become close because, you know, he's the guy that, like you say, would take care of, you know. I mean, Arnold doesn't look like a guy who'd need much taking care of, but, you know.
Right. Well, Renee was the exact opposite. She was like, let Cheryl do everything.
Right.
She did not want to do any of it. And then she was like a dream to double because she really didn't like doing, she wasn't one of those actors that had a big ego. Well, I do all my own stunts. Renee's like, get Cheryl in here. I don't want to hit the ground. Just the other day, we were doing a thing where I had to dive out of the way of this big falling rock, the stunt that she had to do for this last movie I doubled her on. And you know, her husband was directing her, and he goes, okay, Renee, now we got to do a close-up of you. We've already got Cheryl diving out of the way. Right. Now we have to do a close-up of you. And so we were trying to figure out how to make it look like, you know, she was really taking a fall without really hurting her, you know. And so I kind of tried to show her what to do, and she started laughing. She goes, oh, heck no, I'm not doing that. She goes, get Cheryl to do it. Shoot her from behind. She goes, I can't do that. I can't. I'm going to hurt my back, you know. So it was really funny, and I thought, my gosh, she's so much fun to double because she liked me to do everything, and that's what you want, you know. It's a stunt double, you know. It's kind of like, yeah, let me do it all, and you sit back and enjoy the ride. So she's always been real good about that, so it's always been really fun to double her because she was always so accommodating. It's like, I don't want to do any of it. Get Cheryl to do it, you know, so...
Yeah.
But you do. You end up taking care of them. You make sure they're okay. You don't want them to get hurt. And I that's the old school stunt way, you know. It's take care of your actor, and you're not the star. Let them be the star, and you take care of them. And they call you back. They want you to be there for them because you are. It's all about them, and that's what my job is, you know, as
right.
a stunt double, to make them look good and to take care of them.
Mm. You've worked with a couple of directors that I admire on a few occasions with John Carpenter, with the likes of Memoirs of an Invisible Man, Ghosts of Mars.
They Live.
What was
yeah.
your experiences like with John and those movies?
You know, in those movies, I was in more like, to be honest with you, I was in more of kind of a group scene with
okay,
him. I thought that he was, I never worked with him one-on-one, like
okay.
got to really know him.
Right.
But I will say this, he was very appreciative of the stunt people.
Right.
And he's done, yeah, he's done a lot of action stuff. So he's yeah. very appreciative of what stunt people bring to the film. But not
right.
all directors are.
No.
And
no.
I think John Carpenter was very... graceful and grateful to the action
yeah.
people, you know, and so I love that about him. And
right.
and if you know, you do a stunt, and if you know, you get up and he'd say, okay, are you okay? Do you have another one in you, or can you do another one for me? You know, we're gonna shift the camera angle, and it was like, yes, sir. And so he was very, very respectful, and you know, some people. Wrongly, but some of the directors are kind of like, oh, stunts are a necessary evil. And I think that mentality has changed a lot, but I think sometimes you kind of feel that way, you know, because, you know, stunt people, you have to have them, you know,
right.
whether they're as a double or just in the action scene. But and sometimes directors get a little frustrated because it's not the art part of the creative part of the film. It is, but you know what I'm saying? Some directors don't look at it that way. John Carpenter was always very, very grateful to the stunt people. And most of the directors, actually, that I have worked with are like that. Richard
yeah.
Donner was
yeah.
very much like that.
Right.
John Badham, very much like that. He did Point of No Return, and he was such a graceful, you know, just grateful man to all the stunt people, you know, always wanting to make sure you were okay afterwards, and hey, can you do another one? And most all of them really have been that way, and you know, Richard Donner was so great with the stunt people.
Right.
I loved working on the Lethal Weapon series with him. He
yeah.
was amazing. They're getting ready to do another one. Did you hear? They're doing a
yeah.
Lethal Weapon 5.
Wow.
Yeah, so
with Mel
Renee said that she's going to retire
okay.
after that.
Okay.
She said, I'm going to retire after this one.
Wow.
But she said, I'm going to do this one with Mel and Danny and everybody, you know, Joe Pesci, and I think the whole gang is coming back aboard.
Wow.
So
that's
kind of exciting.
It's going to be something.
Yeah.
Because, Mel and,
I know.
Mel and Danny are getting on. Yeah.
I know. We were all laughing. They're going to be shooting from, you know, with walkers.
I mean,
I'm kidding. I mean, I think they got a little life left in them, but they are getting up there. I mean, Danny's older than Mel, and but I think that they're all, you know, I think it's going to be a little bit of a different kind of a movie.
Right. Yeah.
Renee was telling me that the script is more, not so much action and, you know, rolling and, you know, going crazy, but it's more, serious.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen the script. All I know that they have, Warner Brothers gave it a green flag, and that they are, you know, they're proceeding to start shooting in first of next year.
Wow.
So we'll see what happens with it.
It's
but I'm excited about doing it.
It's funny, Lethal Weapon's starting to become like the Police Academy movies. They just keep making them.
Yeah, I know. And now there's a TV series too. That
I know.
Different type of show, but
yeah.
But we'll see what happens with it. I'm hopeful that the script will be, no matter what, it'll be a great script. And they're both such good actors, all of them.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It should be entertaining.
It'll be interesting to see where they go, you know, taking into account the age of the actors now. I mean, obviously, no, I'm not not discounting. They probably can't, you know. I mean, I remember Harrison Ford famously once saying, you know, when he played Indiana Jones again after so long. And they said, was it tough to do? And he said, well, I faked it before. I could fake it again. So, you know.
Right. Mm. Yeah, and just let your stunt double do all the work, you know. Gosh.
You know. But you worked with Robert Rodriguez a couple of times too on Machete and Spy Kids 4. What was working with Robert?
And
like,
I did a movie called Shorts with him as well.
Yeah, he's
it was a kids movie.
Yeah, he's a very hands-on master of all trades kind of director. Was that your experience with Robert?
Yeah, he was. He was very appreciative of all the stunt people.
Mm.
I liked him a lot. He was very quiet. A lot of times he had his first assistant director shout out all the commands, you know, it's
right.
Like do this, do that, and he would just kind of do a lot of whispering in his first AD's ear. But with the stunt people, he had kind of a special affinity with them, and then I worked on a film with him as well, Sin City 2, and my dog worked on it, you know, and he was, and I tell you, it's kind of funny, but I always say, you know, you watch how somebody is with animals and you'll find out their character. And he was so kind to my dog. I mean, he picked my little dog out of, you know, 20 or 30 dogs. You know, I have a good friend in Austin, Texas that, you know, provides animals to movies. And he picked my little girl out, and she, worked on the film for a couple of days. And, he was just so kind and sweet to this little dog of mine. And so I was there on set, you know, while they were filming, and he's just very sweet, you know, he's very sweet. He's a musician, he's an artist, he's good at what he does, and he really is one of those directors that loves stunt people. And
right.
and I thought he was a good guy, I really did.
Mm.
You know, quiet, but very, very, he knows what he wanted, and he's a good man to work with, he really is.
You worked on a movie I really enjoy, and I keep watching it over the years. Was Demolition Man? What was your role or your work on Demolition Man like?
There was a scene with oh my gosh, I'm blanking out on the black gentleman's name.
Wesley
Snipes. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're all right.
Yeah, sorry. Really nice guy, but I was doubling Sandra in that scene where they had the big fight scene together
okay.
in the movie.
All right.
And I was on that. Joel Silver was the producer on that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was on that for about a week, and it was a really fun show. You know, Sandra's so talented as an athlete. I mean, you know, I was there for if she needed help, but you know, a lot of it she did herself. And, you know, I would rehearse the scenes for her mainly, and then she would get in there and put it together and do it. And there's a few scenes where it's actually me, but a lot of it's her, and I was just there kind of rehearsing, you know, and you know, putting the scene together with the stunt coordinator.
Right.
And it was a lot of fun. It was that was a great show to work on. I mean, you know, Sandra was amazing, and she's very athletic.
Right.
And you know, she used to be a dancer. I mean, she can kick high. She can put power behind her kicks. I mean, she really didn't need a stunt double, but
right.
You know, it was fun to work on it.
Yeah.
I still get residuals from it,
yeah.
And it was a fun job. Mm-hmm. And I had just, that kind of reunited me with Joel Silver, who was the producer on Lethal Weapon 3 and Lethal
right.
Weapon 4, and I'd done several other films with him, so when I saw him on that show, he was like, "Oh my gosh, Cheryl, this was Renee's double," and he was real excited to see me. And
great.
And we put together a good fight scene. So yeah, that was a fun movie. It really was.
So when you
but again,
sit down,
Sandra was
yeah. When you sit down to organize these scenes, do you and the stunt coordinator and the actress, obviously, like I've never really understood how it works. Do you decide which parts you are going to do and which parts she's going to do, or do you both train together to do the whole thing and then they
what they do is they take the stunt coordinator gets with the stunt people
right.
and they say, okay, we got to work out a fight scene, and this is what happens. There's a big fight scene, like for instance Lethal Weapon 3
right.
okay
yes.
that fight scene in the garage, remember when she
yeah.
fights the five guys in
yeah,
the garage
yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, we got into the garage, and we all stood around. The actors were nowhere to be seen. And the stunt coordinator says, okay, we need to put a fight together that looks real.
Right.
I don't want it to look chop-stocky. I don't want it to look like a Bruce Lee movie.
Right.
I want it to look real. I want you to utilize what's in this garage to make it look real. I mean,
right.
if she's going to grab a can of paint and throw it at the guy, let her do that. If she's going to, you know, like, so for instance, she let down that car jack on the one guy's foot. She slammed
right.
the hood on another guy.
Yeah.
She threw that piece of, I can't remember what it was, but she threw some automotive thing. I can't remember what it was. I threw it at the one guy and hit him. You know, so they said, let's put together something that looks real and that looks realistic and that would be believable with her fighting five guys. Because think about it. I mean, it's, you know, it's not going to happen if she's just throwing fists.
Yeah.
So we all start, you know, throwing in ideas, you know, I'll do this, what about this, and everybody's putting in their two cents,
okay.
And then we put together a fight, and then what we do is after we all agree on something, and we shoot a couple of masters, kind of like a rehearsal,
yes.
With all the stunt people, then we bring the actors in, and the director, and then we say, okay, this is what we put together, and we'll show them the fight scene, and then the director is like, well, you know what, that might not work for my camera angle, let's adjust this, or let's adjust that, and then we'll change things around a little bit, but we really didn't change much with that fight scene in the garage. He loved it.
Right.
He said, one camera, we're going to shoot it all as a master, and then we'll come in and we'll do close-ups with Renee, so
right.
we shot that one scene with a master, with one big camera angle.
Right.
I think there was a couple of camera angles, but we shot that one scene one time. That was it.
Right.
And then we brought Renee in, and we did close-ups with her, like flipping Horry and Gracie over her shoulder. You know, that was, we did a close-up of that, and
right.
then we did a close-up of her doing a few other things. But
right.
but all of the whole master long shot was me.
Right.
And so that's kind of how they do it. So they'll bring the actor in at the last minute
okay.
and
right.
say, what do you feel comfortable with doing? And if Renee didn't really want to do a whole lot, she's just like, okay, well, I can fake the flip and I can throw it, you know. But she just said, let's use the long shot for the
right.
most part. And then we did a couple of close-up coverage with her.
Right.
And so that's how they do it, you
okay.
know. And then if the actor comes in and has a big, you know, thing to say, like, well, I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it this way. Then, of course, we would change it to fit the actor.
Right.
You know, but basically the stunt people and the stunt coordinator put it together. And then the actors just, they come in for the close-ups and do what they can do. And that's kind of how it works, you
yeah.
know, for the most part, because the actors are all shooting dialogue while we're putting together this fight.
Right, yeah.
You know, and so, you know, that's just how it works. It's the most time-efficient thing that you can do. They can't be a part of all of it, you know,
right.
they just can't. That's nor fun. Do they want to be. They're like, show me what to do and I'll do it. <You know>?
That's fantastic. Well, we better devote a bit of time to the topic at hand, which is the Martial Arts Kid and its sequel. What brought you to the Martial Arts Kid?
Well, I have a lot of good friends that are martial artists, and you know, Don Wilson,
yep.
James Wilson, who I'm sure you've talked to. James is my co-producer,
okay.
And James is someone that that I've known for years. He used to be my manager when I kickboxed years ago.
Okay.
He was my fight manager, believe
wow.
it or not.
Okay.
So he and I have known each other forever, and we got together and decided to do a film together and bring all of our buddies, our martial art buddies that could act
right.
together. And then we of course had casting hire a couple of pretty good actors, one to play the martial arts kid,
right.
Jansen Panettiere, and then Catherine Newton, very good actors in their own right. And Jansen was a pretty good athlete as well. So so we pulled everybody together and we put together this film. And we raised the money, and so this little film turned out to be a really good film. I mean, we won film awards. We took it to a couple of different film festivals. The Dove Foundation awarded us his 5 Dove recommendation for family films. And it was an idea that we had. I've always wanted to produce. I've always wanted to be behind the camera. And it was just kind of a natural stepping stone for me to do. And, with James as well, he was, you know, he's always managed people. He's always, you know, promoted people, and it was just a natural thing for him to kind of come together and do this film as a producer. So, and Don and Cynthia were help producing it, and then Michael Baumgarten, our director, did a heck of a job doing this film.
Yeah.
He's been a unit production manager. He's been a, you know, producer. He's worn a lot of hats in the industry, a director. And so we just put this film together, and it turned out great. We were so proud of it, and it won so many awards. We had so much good attention from it, and it was just a natural fit. I've produced 2-3 films so far. I did another documentary called Holy Hell,
right.
And that won some awards too. It premiered at Sundance, and did real well. CNN ended up buying it, and it was premiered on television, and then we did another film called Paying Mr. Maggette,
yep.
which is also, we're just now getting ready to launch that, and it's
wow.
done quite well. And then we decided to do a sequel because we had set the original Martial Arts Kid up for a sequel,
yep.
you know? And so it's just kind of a natural thing to try and do it at this time. So that's, we're excited about, you know, getting that up and running, and
yeah. So when do you start?
We're in the middle of raising money for it right now.
Okay, so that hasn't begun production yet?
No, it has not.
No,
we have
okay.
not actually started production with it.
Okay, right.
But we're excited about it, and we are in the midst of raising money for it, which I haven't checked in with him of late, but we've done pretty well in the raising money department. You know, it's an independent film, so we're doing it a little bit different than a big studio would, but... we're feeling really good about, you know, how it's going along so far.
Spoken to Don and Cynthia and a couple of the TJ Storm.
TJ Storm, he's great.
He's great. The man who was Godzilla and
he's
some
a great
of the
actor.
Actors, Brandon and Matthew. So it sounds like it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful picture. I enjoyed the first one. Can't wait for the second one. It sounds like you've got to go,
so I'm going
to let you go. Much as I'd love to keep talking to you, because it's been marvelous to talk to you.
No, it's been a lot of fun. No, my husband was just saying, "How long are you going to be?" No, I'm very excited to talk to you, and so excited that you have taken such an interest, and we have very high hopes for the film, and appreciate you spreading the word, and I'm so glad you liked the first one, and you know, we hope that the second one makes an even bigger splash. You know, we've
That's
got
great.
More money to put toward this sequel, and you know the actors are high caliber, you know, and the actors beforehand were great, TJ and Don and Cynthia.
Yeah.
Jan's, and everybody did such a great job on the first one, and I couldn't be prouder of you know, the cast and their performances. So, you know, just a little more money is going to help us make it a better film. So that's what we're looking forward to with the second sequel.
That's fantastic. Well, Cheryl, thank you for being on Podcast and Softly. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Same here.
We could talk a lot longer because you've done so much wonderful things. You'll have to write a book or something, or, you know. And
I know. I need to write a book about some
stories,
of the crazy stuff I've done. And,
yeah, all the stories.
But I appreciate it. It was such a pleasure talking to you, and I'm sure you could write one too. It sounds like, but it's such a pleasure, and thank you for taking the interest, the time, and we'll stay in touch. Okay.
Lovely, Cheryl. Thank you very much, and have a good rest of the evening now.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Hooroo.